The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member. And we don't mean your Aunt Dolores.
You stink!
The TNT Shop has it all. At TNTRadio.live. You're listening to The Reckoning with Timothy Shea on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
We want Trump! We want Trump! We want Trump!
Ron disappoints us, standing next to Walmart Barbie. Was absolutely flummoxed. Deer in the headlights. He was mid-speech, and he froze. He froze. Whereas Donald Trump would have laughed and made a joke and played it off, other qualified politicians like Ronald Reagan, I can see Robert F. Kennedy Jr. doing it, addressing the crowd, making a joke out of it, and diffusing them. No. Ron disappoints us, froze. Deer in the headlights, frozen, to the point where his wife, Walmart Barbie, looking irate at the crowd and then looking at him like, say something, do something, Ron, do something. Oh, yes. Did I forget to mention this happened in Jacksonville? I'm down in Miami right now, have been for a week. All I'm hearing is how disappointed people are in their governor, how their governor should attend to the job he has without worrying about getting another one. There's a reason that we dubbed him Ron Disappoints Us in January, because everyone's disappointed in Governor Ron DeSantis. I've heard it from his own supporters, people who have supported his political career from the very first time he sought office. They're not with him. But Republican voters aren't with Asa Hutchinson or Kris Krispy Kreme or Nikki Haley or any of the other seven dwarves. Vivek is standing out. He's made a good impression for himself, but he's the outsider. Remains to be seen whether Vivek can actually poll support in significant in a significant enough number to mount an effective challenge to the president. The mainstream media is lying. Donald Trump is vulnerable. This last indictment shows just how vulnerable he is. Because according to their poll, his approval dropped from 56 to 50% of Republican primary voters. When in actuality, the polls are showing that, no, Trump didn't lose 6 points. He gained 2 points. He's well into the 60s now. He's the presumptive nominee, which is why he's acting like the presumptive nominee. You don't lower yourself and get into the fray with a bunch of electoral midgets if you're polling in the 60s, which is why not attending the debate was the right course for him. But are we looking at a Republican coup? Because Asa Hutchinson came out over the weekend and said that Donald Trump will not be the nominee. Ron DeSantis has come out saying Trump will not be the nominee. Kris Krispy Kreme has come out and confidently said that Trump will not be the nominee. This just a week after WashPo, New York Times, The Atlantic all said that Trump wouldn't be on the ballot. We've already had one wing nut file a motion in Florida to exclude Trump from the ballot. Is the GOP going to screw Donald Trump by keeping him off the primary ballots? If they try, it will be the end of them. A friend of mine got one of the 27 WinRed emails that get sent out every day, despite the fact that she has repeatedly tried to unsubscribe. Every time she gets one of those emails, she unsubscribes. And they literally send you 29 a day. It's like 15 to 29 a day. It's obscene. And why people are so turned off WinRed is because they keep 30 to 50% of the donation, depending on the candidate. So if you send the president $100, they keep 30 of it. If you send somebody like Asa Hutchinson $100, they'll keep 50 of it. It's absolutely outrageous. And my friend was irate and said to me, why on earth is Trump still collecting campaign funds through WinRed? And I don't know this for certain, but my educated guess is to keep the GOP on side. If he's making the party that much money and he raised $7 million in 4 days after being arrested in Atlanta, if he's making GOP that much money, it's in their self-interest not to screw him. If they do, I guarantee you it will be the end of the party and Donald Trump will win the presidency as a write-in candidate. I'm Timothy Shea. This is The Reckoning. At TNT Radio, we never go home. We're committed to bringing you our take on the biggest topics of our time. We broadcast live 24/7 globally, no matter what. We've got you covered on TNT Radio.
Calling out the big wigs.
The government works for us, not the other way around.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, has halted the collection of COVID-19 vaccine adverse events reports through the agency's VSafe page, even as millions of Americans reported being, quote unquote, impacted by such vaccines. Here with the story, joining me now is TNT Radio News producer Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus.
Thanks, Timothy. I just don't imagine. I can't imagine why they haven't already done this. But yeah, they quietly did this, apparently. If you go to the VSafe page, you'll see a message that says, quote, thank you for your participation. Data collection for COVID-19 vaccines concluded on June 30th. 2023. If you have symptoms or health problems following your COVID-19 vaccination that concern you, please contact your health care provider. You can also report to the VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, end quote. Now, the VSafe was created by the CDC to collect COVID-19 vaccine health assessments. But VAERS is the older system, which is co-managed by the CDC and the FDA. The CDC says that it closed enrollment in VSafe on May 19th as the program was, quote, developed specifically for COVID-19 vaccines, end quote. So see, the other one covers all of them. This one was just for the COVID vaxes. But that's weird because I just heard the Biden talking about we got some new ones coming. But anyway, according to the CDC, it is, quote, developing a new version of VSafe, which will allow users to share their post-vaccination experiences with new vaccines, end quote. Call me skeptical. The CDC states that since the launch of VSafe in December of 2020, it has registered 10.1 million participants who completed over 151 million health surveys regarding their experiences following the COVID-19 jab. According to VSafe data accessed by the Advocacy Informed Consent Action Network, ICANN, in September 22, out of the 10.1 million users who reported on the platform, 3.53 million people claimed to have been adversely, quote unquote, impacted by the vaccination, while 1.2 million reported that they were, quote unquote, unable to conduct normal activities, 1.3 million missed school or work, and 800,000 required medical care. In total, 6.4 million health impacts were reported to VSafe. White people were the most affected, accounting for 2.6 million of the 3.53 million impacted individuals. Among that group, females accounted for the majority share of affected individuals at 1.9 million. 200,000 each Asian and Black people were also impacted. The vaccine brand reported as having caused the most adverse events was Moderna, with 1.6 million impacts, followed by jolly old Pfizer with 1.4 million. Out of a total 71.29 million reported symptoms, pain topped the list with 19 million reports, followed by fatigue at 11.7 million, headache at 9.1 million, and muscle slash body aches at 7.2 million. Over 751,000 individuals reported needing care after their COVID-19 vaccination. Among those aged 3 or older, 48.3% sought urgent care, while 15% had to visit emergency rooms. And among individuals younger than 3 years old, I can't believe this is a thing, these numbers were at 65.5% and 9.1%. That's right. 9.1% of those individuals younger than 3 years old had to visit the emergency room. Thanks to that jolly old COVID-19 jab, Timothy. Sad news. What do you think is the reason for them quietly turning this off at this time of year?
I assume that's a rhetorical question. We all know the answer. The answer, of course, is that it's COVID's fear season. I think the real reason is the data out of England, which show that the fourth jab seems to be the kill shot. For example, in January of this year, there were 127 unvaccinated deaths in the United Kingdom from COVID-19. Those who had one dose, there were only 19 deaths. Those who had two doses, there were 98. Those who had a first booster, there were 323. But those who had a fourth booster, 1,747, followed by 1,258 in February, 1,862 in March, 1,263 in April, and 772 in May. It's unbelievable when you see these graphs, because you see blue line, orange line, gray line, yellow line, and they're all, each of those lines is under 400. 323 is the most deaths from the booster. The most deaths among the unvaccinated, January is 127. But again, those numbers for the fourth jab, 1747 in January, 1258 in February, 1862 in March, 1263 in April, and 772 in May. And that's just through the first 5 months, Adam. And these are deaths. These aren't adverse events. These aren't people being impacted. These are deaths. And that is official data from ons.gov.uk. People can check out the graph for themselves. This is a kill shot. This is exactly what we predicted 2 years ago, 3 years ago in my case. I was out in June of 2020 warning about the vaccines that were coming in December. They were still 6 months out, and I was warning about them, and I was giving the reasons why I was warning about them, and all the reasons I gave are the reasons why people are dying now. They can't handle the truth, and they certainly don't want we the people knowing the truth.
It's just the same organization that had this thing set up is still recommending it. They're encouraging individuals as young as 6 months old to stay up to date with these vaccines and these boosters. And the weird thing about like these graphs and how many boosters people make it, I'm always astounded. Like, don't the people who make these things, who basically pretty much at this point, they have to know that they're losing customers. Don't they think about that? I mean, aren't they like, well, shoot, if everybody keeps dying after the fourth shot, maybe we should water that sucker down or something. What are they going to do if all of their customers just die off?
No, because they don't have customers. Their customer isn't dying. Hey, Pfizer's not making this shot. Moderna's not making this shot. None of the pharmaceutical companies are making the shot. The shot is being made by the military, and the government is paying a licensing fee to Pfizer to use Pfizer's trade names and trade dress. These aren't being manufactured by the pharmaceutical companies, according to the information I've got. They're all being made by subcontractors under government contract. And Pfizer and Moderna and the other companies are allowing their brand names to be affixed to them. So no, they're not losing their customer because their customer is the government. And the government clearly has no interest in protecting we the people.
Wow. When you put it that way, it's more like literally a weapon. And it's appears to be working very well, sad to report.
It's almost as if it were a bioweapon. It's a shame there's not a radio network that's been calling it that for 3 years. Oh, yes, there is. TNT Radio. Thanks for another great story, Adam. You're listening to The Reckoning on TNT.
TNT Radio's Katie Hopkins.
Sam Bankman-Fried, so he's the guy called Crypto King. He lost billions of other people's money because he had this FTX exchange when everyone was like, right, invest in crypto. This guy knows what he's doing. Hey, look, he's invested, so I'm going to invest. Did you hear? Murdoch's invested, therefore I'm going to invest. That weird thing that goes on where everyone's investing because everyone else is, but no one really knows what they're doing, but they all have to pretend because they're Billy Big Balls, and no one wants to look like they were foolish or miss out or pretend they didn't actually know. So they all invested and they all lost all of their money. And so he's currently being held awaiting trial. He's not happy, people, because he's not getting the vegan diet he needs. He isn't getting his quinoa. So he swindled billions and billions of dollars from people. God knows what he thought was going to happen to him, but he clearly thought he was above everybody. One of those great elites that think they're untouchable ends up in prison wearing beige. And he's complaining, his lawyer's complaining he can't get his quinoa. And because he can't get his quinoa, he can't prepare for trial.
Katie Hopkins on TNT Radio.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
Info at your beck and call.
An earful of information.
Driving the news cycle.
Just tell your smart device to play.
TNT Radio.
Kate Shemarani describes herself as a natural nurse in a toxic world. She has qualifications in general nursing and a diploma in personal nutrition. She's co-founder of the British Nursing Alliance and is a health advisor, nurse on Sons of Liberty Radio USA, and host of the Kate Shemarani Show on the Unity Radio Network. And her show can be heard here on TNT Radio, Sundays 9 to 10 in Brisbane, noon to 1 in London, and 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. in New York. Welcome to The Reckoning, Kate Shemarani.
Hi, good evening. And I'm such a wonderful guest. I'm doing it from my boudoir.
You're a phenomenal guest. I should say it's tomorrow. It's after midnight there in the United Kingdom. I greatly appreciate you staying up to come on the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to congratulate you on your Wikipedia entry. It's got your occupation listed as conspiracy theorist. It says that you're Kate, you're a very dangerous person.
Well, what's interesting about the Wikipedia page is no one seems to be able to alter it. And I had a friend who is actually worked for the American government for years and years, ex-military in America. And he had a look at that page a long time ago. He said, oh, this is interesting, the way it's been set up. He says, it's not your usual Wikipedia page, but at least they pick a decent photograph.
They did pick a decent photograph.
Absolutely. But that was, you know, put up straight away when I emceed the rallies in London, and I had a regular slot on local radio as a health expert. I never gave myself that title. They did. And unwittingly, in February 2020, I did a show and I live streamed it to Facebook like I normally would. And we'd, you know, this was a small town next to the village where I live, 20,000 people. And it would get about 5,000 views on Facebook. And so I said a few things. I said COVID-19, and there was an inversion in the genome sequence indicative of vector technology. This was February 2020. Then I went on to say about Wuhan being the test city for 5G, and that 5G stopped oxygen binding to the hemoglobin, the protein portion of your red blood cells, your erythrocytes. I talked about, you know, why those videos coming out of Wuhan could not be correct and why. You know, why it wouldn't be flu. It had to be something else. I also mentioned that I'd been on the Chinese Health Authority's website and vaccines were mandatory from the December of 2019, where that would be flu shot. And as I understood it, the flu vac of that year had four untested influenzas in it. Highly pathogenic H1A and highly disease-causing. So this was all I said. I talked a little bit about serial killers as named Harold Shipman, Beverly Allitt. And it was 21 minutes. And off I went that evening to the cinema with my friend, expecting the usual 5,000 views. And I got a text saying, look at the Facebook. And it was 50,000 views. I think the next day it was 250,000 views. And then between Facebook and YouTube, within a couple of days, it was 2 million views. And I really knew I was in trouble. And then my sister called me from Australia and said, you're on the news here. I said, what? She said, there's a video of you on the news. Channel 8 News. So then my phone began ringing. The radio station was promptly contacted by Ofcom, which is the regulator, even though I'd done a disclaimer at the beginning, and they threatened them that they had to take down all 3.5-4 years worth of my shows and remove that video, or they would possibly be taken off air. And I knew then, because I'd already read Rosa Corrie's Behind the Green Mask, the Committee of 300, years before Let None Dare Call It Conspiracy. So I thought, oh dear, I've really hit on something here. Then I started to get lots and lots of texts from, because my number was in the public domain, from relatives, from doctors, from nurses, whistleblowing what was going on. And that there weren't cases of COVID. They were being told to shut up. I was actually being told of murder. That's what I was, actual murder. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I also had a military guy contact me who was working in building the hospital, I forget what they call it now, the Nightingale Hospital in London. And he said, this is unprecedented, you know, for infection control. You wouldn't build one large room. It would be individual rooms. Well, of course it would. And that's where it kind of began. That was it. I was propelled into stardom of the very censored nurse and in a lot of trouble. So my social media, suddenly it was over 100,000 followers and my Facebook page was full. I was on Instagram and, you know, one day I had under 1,000 followers on Instagram. Within a month or so, it was at 50,000. Then I was on YouTube, and then I joined Twitter. I had never really been on Twitter very much. I opened an account on Twitter, but everything was taken down within one day except for Twitter. And when it was at 20,000 views, Twitter was taken down about 3 years ago. But then I recently got my Twitter account back several months ago from after writing lots of appeals. And so that was it, really. You know, I've gone from there. But once I think you're in trouble, and I've been arrested, I've been chased by hundreds of cops. I've been charged in a court of law. I'm a criminal. I had my house entered by the Metropolitan Police with an unsigned warrant. And I just think, well, once knowing from all the books I've read that were my ex-husband, who was incidentally part of the 9/11 Truth Coalition. And I just think if you've already started, you may as well be very loud then and carry on. Otherwise, if you go too quiet, you might disappear.
Exactly. And for a diamond, for a dollar, and the best protection is to raise your voice even louder. I've had similar social media experiences. Apparently, Facebook doesn't give you a 30-second, 30-day ban. They just nuke you entirely from the platform.
Yeah, that's what happened to me.
I had 31 30-day bans. And curiously, Kate, I was banned in both October and November of 2018, 2020, and 2022, the month ahead of and during our election cycle here. It's funny how that worked out. And in each of those suspensions, the second suspension, the November suspension, was within hours, and in one case within minutes of the October suspension expiring. And in all of the cases, they went back years to find a post to justify the suspension. And then they stopped doing that. They just would say, well, you violated our community standards, and they wouldn't even reference a post. Twitter, I'm still asking, pleading, begging Elon, pretty please with sugar on top, to restore at TimboTim62 and at MAGA_Institute, because those accounts are gone. Folks are very welcome to follow me on The Reckoning TNT on Twitter, or X, as we now have to call it. It's just like our story with the American VAERS system, the CDC's VAERS system. They can't handle the truth, and they certainly don't want we the people finding out the truth.
Well, I just came back from, I was invited to speak at the Red Pill Expo, and it was in Des Moines. So I just got back from there. Thank you very much to G. Edward Griffin, author of The Creature from Jekyll Island, A World Without Cancer. They paid half my travel, and TNT, of course, and I covered some of the event for TNT. And that was interesting for me because I was speaking alongside people that I knew from of course, the last 3.5 years.
I want to hear all about that after the news. Yeah. You're listening to The Reckoning on TNT Radio.
News. There is a difference.
What's on the schedule for today?
A little less yappity-yap and a little more
news.
Yay!
Now, TNT Radio News.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. Tropical storm Idalia is on track to hit Florida. It's forecast to grow into a major hurricane. Life-threatening storm surge, damaging winds, and flooding rain are all expected along portions of the west coast of Florida and the Florida Panhandle beginning as early as Tuesday. An alert has been issued to UK consumers, advising them against consuming just crisp sea salt and apple balsamic vinegar potato crisps if they have an allergy or intolerance to milk or milk constituents.
On air
and on the app.
I listen on the app.
Stay up to date around the clock.
I listen, therefore I know.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
So, Kate, what was your presentation at the conference?
Well, I never really write a presentation per se. I know that people like to use the screens. They just played a video of me in Trafalgar Square with the crowd, a short video clip, which was an awesome day with over 40,000 people, and I was MC. I like to look at everyone else and what they're doing. So I do lecture on avoiding and reversing disease. That's my passion. I lecture up and down the UK on that and have done for years. So I went on and I basically just said who I was and why I got to where I was of knowing that this was untrue. There was no pandemic, and basically all of it, you know, the history of how I got there. And then I began to cover what was going on in the UK with regards to our National Homicide Service, the NHS. And I linked it all into, the economy, the government, really how the country's broke and what they'd planned to do and how they would recover those funds and who the players are. I talked about some key documents and the planned tariff incentivized euthanasia point system in the UK. And then I went in a little bit into pharmaceuticals And I picked a couple of drugs and talked about that and about avoiding and reversing disease and how one would do that. And anyway, it was wonderful. I got a standing ovation and lots of laughter because I've got a very dry sense of humor. I decided I'd pick two conditions, statins and erectile dysfunction. that always raises a smile in more ways than one. So I talked about that. And it's interesting because what we see worldwide, and of course, Dr. Ardis, his talk was phenomenal on the use of venoms and, of course, the nicotinic acid acetylcholine receptors and their affinity for venoms. And the venoms that are in, well, they're used in lots of prescription medications, they're in lots of chemicals, they're in personal care products, and how that affects the body. And of course, I got on very well with Dr. Ardis because that was the foundation of my knowledge. But just so that anyone listening to me ramble knows, almost 12 years ago, we are at when I discovered it, but heading towards 12 years ago, I was diagnosed with a very aggressive and deadly lobular invasive grade 3 breast cancer with a very high pleomorphic presentation. That means virtually the whole breast was changing into these cells. And I had private healthcare at the time. And I, 6 weeks later, I had a double mastectomy and a reconstruction. But I took two books into the hospital. And this is, you know, one of the things I can thank my ex-husband for, this and my children. He's a scientist, so he said nothing happens randomly, it's cause and effect. And I went into the hospital with two books, Dr. Gerson's report of 50 cases, Dr. Max Gerson, and the China study. And on day two, I was booked in for 7 days with 5 trains. I said, I'm going home, and I'd made a mistake. I don't want to stay here. I went home, and within a week, I commenced the full Gerson therapy, vitamin B17 and high-dose vitamin C and mistletoe injections into my abdomen. Now, vitamin B17, amygdalin, Laetril, was a book that my husband also ordered, was G. Edward Griffin, A World Without Cancer. And it was that book which was also to help save my life. And that was who invited me to the Red Pill Expo, the author of that book, G. Edward Griffin. So it was very surreal for me to be invited. Now, I declined chemotherapy, radiotherapy, tamoxifen and Zolodex. My brother-in-law is Iran's leading urologist and part owner of the hospital in Tehran. So the oncology team there looked at my notes as well. And he said, you know, you need to make her have this. She needs all her nodes removed from both arms. She'll be dead in 18 months. And I didn't listen to anybody. And I went down this route, the Gerson therapy being the basis, which was fat-free, vegan, salt-free, sugar-free diet. And then at 6 weeks, you can put in 200 mils of fat-free yogurt. And it was 13 fresh pressed, very specific juices a day, over 100 supplements a day, and 5 coffee enemas a day. Yep, that's coffee up your rear. And I did this with 4 children, driving 90 miles a day to get them to school, every hour a juice, and making the juices and taking them with me when I had to go in the car. And 6 months rolled into a year, into 2 years, 5 years, and I'm still alive and well today. And actually the consultant in London, who I still see privately once a year, just for the reconstruction, and I read all my own bloods, he has said to me now, on several occasions privately, you've done really well to be alive. But of course, I haven't. I then did a whole year of interviewing. I think it was 2019. People who were like me, who were given a terminal diagnosis, and one was 40 years later. One was almost 40 years later. One was a young man who was told he was dying at 14. And was in a hospice for 3 days to live. And 2 weeks later, he was still alive, so they had to move him out of there. I interviewed him over a decade later. and he was cancer free. So this, they'd all, everyone had done something different, but we'd all done something the same. So this was really when I, you know, began to learn about the entire industry, the medical industry, which is to make you sick, keep you sick, treat you, kill you, dispose of you, and charge you all the way along. And that is what keeps everything rolling. Your body
is I often commodity. Yeah, I often quip, but it's no joke. If your prescription can be refilled, it's not a cure. You're listening to The Reckoning on TNT Radio.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
During Wednesday's GOP presidential debate, there was a knockout scored by businessman Vivek Ramaswamy, who turned the tables on Chris Christie, who is doing what he does best, acting like a bully.
I've had enough already tonight of a guy who sounds like ChatGPT standing up here. And the last person in one of these debates, Brett, who stood in the middle of the stage and said, "What's a skinny guy with an odd last name doing up here?" was Barack Obama, and I'm afraid we're dealing with the same type of amateur standing stage tonight.
Now listen to Ramaswamy's response.
Give me a hug. Give me a hug just like you did to Obama.
Same type of amateur.
And you'll help elect me just like you did to Obama too.
That was a devastating right, then a left, as Ramaswamy referenced then-New Jersey governor's infamous hug of Barack Obama, who visited the state after Superstorm Sandy struck in October of 2012. Rhino Christie also embraced Obama verbally, and days later, Obama won re-election, beating Mitt Romney. And the rest is history. Bravo, Vivek. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
As my parents have grown older, driving has become more challenging. Intersections feel busier, driving in peak hour traffic and travelling longer distances is stressful, and driving at night or in bad weather is risky. Even small mistakes can be costly. Look for the signs. If you notice driving is getting harder for loved ones, talk about the alternatives. Help them make a plan to stop driving on their terms. Don't let your parents stop driving by accident. Think Road Safety, a message from the Government of South Australia.
The Reckoning with Timothy Shea on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Hey, that's powerful personal testimony. I have a friend who is a breast cancer survivor, and she went in for her normal scan, and they said, we're seeing some cells that are problematic. Might just be a milk cyst, but we want to do a needle biopsy just to be sure. So they harpooned her left breast, and guess what? It was just a milk cyst. Oh, but wait. We found some cells on the way in that are a little bit suspicious. So we want to do a biopsy. Don't worry, just a small one that's only 1.4 by 1.8 millimeters that we're interested in. So we're going to take out a 1 by 1 centimeter, just half a thimbleful. And they ended up taking 4.5 by 4.2 centimeters. To find some tissue that was 1.2 by 1.8 millimeters. And then they used the sutures to which she was allergic, and it said all over her chart that she's allergic. Anyway, this has been an 8-month ordeal. She's still not fully healed. And guess what? There was no cancer. Now, is that done out of malice? Out of ignorance? It's awfully convenient that the only calls that she gets from the hospital these days are the ones looking for her to pay the copays for the treatments she received to fix their errors. They're trying to get her to pay $5,000 for the work that they had to do to fix their own errors. I don't think it's a coincidence.
No, and also cancer is 1 in 2 in Great Britain, and I believe America is the same. The top 3 causes of death in the UK and America are cancer, heart disease, and prescription medication. And when we look at prescription medication in itself, you have drugs that will cause disease. That's the first thing. I'm also an independent, trained, and qualified nurse prescriber. When you take a drug, if you're taking a drug orally in your mouth, and it's going to go into your stomach, then it's going to go into your intestine, your small intestine, the first third, then it's going to go in your blood supply, like your nutrients do, down the main highway to the liver, and then it's going to get into your systemic circulation. So if there was 100% of the drug going in your mouth, they know when that drug is given due to research and testing on it, only maybe 10% will be active, and that's the dose, that dosage that your body needs. Now, it might be that 20% reaches your systemic circulation. This is why intravenous drugs straight into your vein can be very dangerous, because you're getting all the drug right there. Now, if you're taking that drug and 10% is the dose they're looking at, and most of it is lost in your stomach and everywhere else, they know this, and the other 10% is going to bind to receptors, and that'll be inactive. You could then finish those drugs a couple of weeks later, take a completely different drug that competes for those receptor sites, pushes that other 10% off, and you could overdose on a drug that you took weeks ago. It could interact with the drug you've got now. So prescription medication are very dangerous. There is no drug out there with a lethal dose of zero. And what it means, LD, is a drug that's LD50 is classed as very dangerous. That means of 100 people that take it, 50 could die. There's no drug that's LD0. And an LD of 15 will be classed as okay. So you have to keep that as it is very dangerous. And many patients are admitted to the hospital every day with, you know, shockingly low blood pressure, an erratic low or very high heartbeat. And it is literally because they are having an overdose from drugs. It's because of prescription drugs, and it gets missed by doctors, or it just gets ignored. And when you think that a lot of elderly have comorbidities, several different illnesses, and they're on lots of medication, and I think it was the plan, I don't know where the plan came from, I think it was government, that they wanted everybody in the West on, by the time they're 40, on at least 4 prescription medications. And if you look at anti-inflammatories, you're in America looking at their stats, you take an anti-inflammatory, what it does is it blocks what's called the COX-1, COX-2 pathway, your prostaglandin. So it immediately stops over 80 processes in your body. And one of those is what's called your osteoclasts. They're the cells that break your skeleton down into a cement. And that cement stimulates your osteoblasts to build your skeleton. Our entire body remodels all the time. It's the most fantastic piece of equipment. I think it's eye cells renewed every couple of days. The lining of your gut every, what is it, 5 days? I might be a couple of days out here. It's gone midnight, I'm in bed. But it's fantastic. So if you're stopping osteoclasts, then you're going to be building bone on not good bone. And what do people that get, that take steroids long term? They get osteoporosis, brittle, holy bones. And what do they put most elderly on who have arthritis? They give them steroids. They give them anti-inflammatories. So anti-inflammatory drugs will cause the osteoporosis. When you see statins, nearly everybody's on statins, Lipitor. Immediately, your brain cells, 70% of the membrane is fat, and in the rest of your cells, 50% of the membrane, and your cells, the fat that you eat, that's what makes the membrane. So if you're eating bad fats, it's going to push oxygen away from the cell. But if you're blocking the fat, what are you going to get? Dementia. It's going to cause loss of muscle tone taking statins. It's going to cause it affects your sex hormones, but it's going to cause dementia. It's going to block the CoQ10 in the liver, which is the heart protective enzyme. People that take statins end up on a whole bag of drugs and ultimately with heart problems, heart disease, which in itself generates more money. In the UK, we have the 1939 Cancer Act. If you even sort of allude that you can cure cancer, you go straight to prison for 3 months. So you cannot even talk about natural, you can't say cure. If you're, you know, a physician or a naturopath, you just can't say that. You have to be very, very careful what you say, and they will exercise that jail term. So it's,
Certain they will.
Very, very good. Yeah.
Very, very and at the other end of the age spectrum, you mentioned the percentage of fat in the membrane and neural tissue. At the other end of the spectrum, for decades now, Kate, I have been advocating for whole milk chocolate milk. Okay, we have a dairy in Syracuse that still sells whole milk chocolate milk because most chocolate milk is consumed by children. Well, with the fat craze of the 1980s, almost all the dairies went to low fat, 1%,
which was catastrophic.
So the children are only getting 1% in their milk. They need whole milk because they need the fat to develop the Schwann cells that develop the brain into a thinking, operating organ. And these, one of the reasons why we have such dim people now is because their brains haven't fully developed. They didn't receive enough dietary fat when they were children.
I'm glad you brought up milk because there's something quite interesting about milk. Absolutely. And raw milk is fantastic. But if you go to India, they're having an explosion of type 1 diabetes and multiple sclerosis, both of which are autoimmune diseases. Now, multiple sclerosis just means multiple scars. It's Latin. And in one study I read, 90% of the population have got Epstein-Barr virus. They'll test positive for it because they put it in vaccines, of course. But 100% at autopsy, one study showed that all patients with multiple sclerosis, the lesions in their brains tested positive for Epstein-Barr virus. Just a side hustle there for you. But looking at milk, it used to be in India that they used the big humpback buffalo cows for their milk, and this was called A2 milk. Now it's switched now to what you see across Europe and the West, to the black and white Friesian cows, which is A1 milk. Now, I think it was in Australia or New Zealand, there was an explosion of type 1 diabetes in Samoan children once they left their own shores and went to, I think it was Australia. And the only thing that had changed in these children was they began drinking milk, and it was A1 milk. And of course, this had set up antibodies that had destroyed the islets of Langerhans in the pancreas because the body doesn't recognize it. Now, there's another little thing about A1 milk, which I was very interested in. I worked in the largest A&E department in Europe for 5 years. And I worked in another A&E whilst I was still flying for BA. I was doing another nursing course on my days off. So yes, I have always nursed somewhere. And I was looking at cot deaths. Now, in A1 milk from the black and white Friesian cows.
And for those who aren't familiar with the term, a cot death is what we in the United States refer to as crib death.
Yes, sudden infant death syndrome. What number 67 in the amino acid chain of this A1 milk is converted to beta-casomorphin. Now, when you, that's morphine, it's like a derivative of morphine. So when you inject these children with the vaccines, with all the shrapnel sitting in the gut, or you're giving these children hybridized wheat, 1969, all the wheat was hybridized, GMO wheat, and it's got like burrs on the top, and they get holes in the gut, eating GMO, they get holes in the gut, you get unprocessed foodstuff entering the bloodstream. Well, that beta-casomorphin then depresses the respiratory center of the brain. And what do you get? You get these cot deaths. And where is cot death prevalent? In bottle-fed babies. In bottle-fed babies. And vaccinated babies, you see a higher percentage. So I always find it very, very interesting that all formula milk is A1 milk. We know that the best milk for a baby is breast milk, that it's made perfectly, it's digested quicker. I hear women going, well, I couldn't breastfeed. Actually, I've not met many people who can't. I had 4 children and I breastfed and it was very, very painful. I used, all the guys were going, oh, at this moment, you helped make the baby, so shut up. We're going to talk about breasts and nipples. I had to use nipple shields.
How dare they be used what they were intended to be used for, Kate?
How dare those fun bags be used as that, even though it's readily on tap, comes at the right temperature, in attractive containers. Absolutely. So, I just did it. Now, there was during actually the first 3 months of lockdown, interestingly, just digressing slightly, many babies didn't make it for their vaccinations, and the mortality rate in the 0 to 18 dropped incredibly, dropped quite substantially. I think it dropped by over a third. There's a study that should be done right there. And so when you look at the milk that we should be having, and again, you can look at chocolate as well. Here's a wonderful recipe. I do hope everyone's listening. If you can't get a hold of raw milk, which you should, and put some cacao powder, some raw milk, a couple of dates or sultanas into a blender, because that will make it sweet, and you blend it up. Or you can put raw honey, cacao powder, and raw milk, and there is your chocolate milkshake, which is perfect. It's absolutely delicious. You can also put macadamia nuts, which are really creamy, in a blender. Put some distilled water, and we don't advocate drinking tap water here. No nasty fluoride, chlorine, bromine. Macadamia nuts, some sultanas or a couple of dates, and cacao powder, and blend it up, pour it through a sieve. You've got nut milk that's chocolate milk right there. You can do all of these things. But if you buy something off the shelf, when you start, isn't it interesting? People will stand and read the recipes in a supermarket, but they'll go along and have an untested, unlicensed, uninsured, experimental bioengineering device inserted into their arm. Bonkers, which is the COVID shot. But they'll go and look at food labels. But you know, when you talk about the milk, I think it's very important that people understand the difference between A1 and A2 milk and pasteurized. Old Louis Pasteur, there's a lie. And listen, while I'm on a roll, you can't catch a virus. And theory, germ theory, is exactly that. It's a theory, just like Darwin's theory of evolution. It's a theory. So when you get your head around all of that, you start to understand it's not these germs that make you sick. It's the bacteria that they give off. Just like arthritis, it's just telling you, you have itis, you have an inflammation, a fire in your joint. What's that from? It's from bacteria. It's the toxins that they're giving off. So if you detox your body, eat a clean diet, drink clean water, get out in the midday sun when your shadow is short, limit your EMF exposure, nutrient-dense diet, I should say, organic, then your likelihood of being sick is exponentially decreased because your constitution is better. So you will be able to deal with a certain amount of toxins. And as for, oh, it's genetic, it runs in the family. No, absolute nonsense. We don't have junk DNA. Our genes can be upregulated and downregulated depending on this toxicity. And it's because families live together, eat together, and are exposed to the same toxins. And fluoride in water and BPA plastic in your tea bags and your bottles will switch on 138 genes that wouldn't normally be. So there's just one example of you eat. Today's food becomes tomorrow's cells.
That's absolutely correct. And if people doubt that, just remember what women used to say: a moment on the lips, a lifetime on the hips. I've been trained in biology. That was my background, Kate. So I know that what you've said here tonight has a lot of value to it. Also, both sides of my family were in the dairy industry. Both of my grandfathers worked in the dairy industry. So I can absolutely vouch for what you've said about A1 versus A2 milk. And also about pasteurized versus unpasteurized milk. And for my money, there's nothing better than a good raw milk cheese.
Oh, yummy. And you know, people say I'm lactose intolerant. They're not. It's just all the rest of the garbage, isn't it?
That's exactly right.
Raw cheese, goat's cheese, sheep's cheese is very different to your pasteurized, renin added, non-organic cow's cheese. Very, very different. And people, all disease begins in the gut. Absolutely all disease. Heal the gut, heal the body. And you've got to start by taking away the offending item. And the first offending item you need to get rid of is your television, because that is filling your head with all of the lies.
Not just for your physical health, but for your mental health. Kate, I want to thank you so much for staying up late. It's been a very pleasurable conversation.
That wasn't me snoring, incidentally. That was the chihuahua.
Oh, it's a chihuahua? Yeah, Luke and I were having an offline... Yeah, Luke and I were having an offline conversation. Is it a pug or a Frenchie? It turns out both of us were wrong. It was a Chihuahua.
Mine, and then I've got another Chihuahua that I've been dog sitting, and it's literally virtually up the crack of my behind, and it's
snoring. Well, I'm going to have you leave us with that visual up your behind with the Chihuahua in the boudoir. Maybe he's going for a cup of coffee. All right. That's tonight's reckoning. Stay tuned on TNT for the Hevorier Morin Show. I'm Timothy Shea. Until next time, God bless you. God bless these United States. Keep fighting the good fight.